As you know, our nation is filled with memorials. You have the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Memorial. As you know, we observe Memorial Day. As you stop in and think about memorials, there is no question that memorials are powerful and they serve a great, great purpose. As we think about memorials, we understand that memorials keep us from forgetting important events, important people. And therefore, when we study God's Word, we shouldn't be surprised, biblically speaking. We read about memorials that God established. I guess one of the most familiar memorials that we read about in the Old Testament would be Passover. In Exodus chapter 11, Exodus chapter 2, we read about the establishment of that memorial. You remember that the people of God would commemorate this feast, this memorial, every year. At the beginning of the year, on the 14th day, all of the leaven would be removed from the houses, and for 7 days the people would eat unleavened bread. The Passover was significant. It reminded the people of God who brought them out of Egyptian bondage. God didn't want His people to ever lose sight of that fact, that they didn't deliver themselves by their own power, by their own might. God is the one, by His mighty arm, delivering them from Egyptian bondage. You remember God gave them specific instruction to put that blood upon the doorpost, upon the sides of the door, and remember death would pass over their firstborn. And it was after the death of the firstborn that Pharaoh let the people of Israel go. And God established the Passover. And it's something that, again, the people of God would continually remember for years. When we turn to the New Testament, we read about another memorial, the Lord's Supper, something that we just participated in a few minutes ago. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. We'll mention a few things from Luke 22 as we think about this particular memorial this morning. It is here in this setting that the disciples of Christ were eating the Passover, and Christ chose to establish a new arrangement, a new memorial. This would be an ideal time because His disciples would be focusing on this memorial that their ancestors participated in for years. The timing would be just right. And so with this backdrop, looking at the Passover and looking at Luke 22 beginning at verse number 15, we want to mention a few things about this memorial. The memorial that we find in the New Testament, the Lord's Supper. And what we want to do is simply remind ourselves about this memorial by considering, number one, the institution. And then number two, we'll look at the elements of the Lord's Supper. And then number three, we will make the application. And I believe these are things, again, that we need to be reminded of, just like God reminded His people about the Passover throughout the Old Testament. Well, again, we want to begin by looking at this institution. And I want you to look at Luke 22, and we won't read every verse here, but look at verse number 15. And I've chosen Luke 22, verse 15 for a reason. And it's really brought out in this verse. The Lord says, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I believe Luke is the only one that records this phrase where The Lord says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover. Remember, it was in the setting of the Passover that Jesus would establish this new memorial that we're going to be talking about, the Lord's Supper. Their minds, again, would be focused on the Passover. And so the setting would be good. The ideal time would be perfect because Jesus Christ was going to prepare His disciples for His suffering, for His death. But this is where, again, Jesus establishes this new arrangement. And this new arrangement that we're reading about here in Luke 22 and Matthew 26 was a part of New Testament worship. If you would, you can hold your place there. And if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. And as you're turning over to Acts chapter 2, we see that this is the chapter that shows the establishment of the church, the kingdom of God. And we see that after the church was established in Acts chapter 2, notice with me verse number 42, they continue steadfastly. That is, those who became Christians, those who obeyed the gospel by being baptized, verse 42, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Breaking of bread represents this new memorial that Jesus would establish that we're reading about here in Luke chapter 2. Jesus is the one that established this memorial. He is the one that instituted it. And it's something that first century Christians participated in upon the first day of the week. We see the Lord's church was established upon the first day of the week. We see that Christians would gather, they would assemble upon the first day of the week to break bread. Breaking bread symbolizes the totality of the Lord's Supper, as we will talk about in greater detail in just a few minutes. But it was a part of this new arrangement. It was part of the New Testament worship that we read about in the New Testament. We see again in Acts 20 verse number 7 that the disciples upon the first day of the week would come together to break bread, to participate in this memorial that Jesus Christ established. Look at another verse, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We will be spending some time in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, so you may want to go ahead and mark your spot there because we're actually going to be coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But I just want to read one verse in 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 20. Now, as you are looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, like he is doing in the book of this epistle, of the book of 1 Corinthians, he's dealing with different problems that these brethren had because they were carnally minded. They were spiritual, literally spiritual babes in Christ, and they were abusing this memorial that is known as the Lord's Supper. And that's what I'm wanting to establish with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 20. This memorial that Jesus instituted, that is part of New Testament worship, is referred to as the Lord's Supper. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. When you come together, like we're doing this morning, therefore into one place, one of the greatest definitions of the assembly, this is not, listen to it, to eat the Lord's Supper. You see, this sacred feast is called the Lord's Supper because Jesus Christ is the one that instituted it. We see that again in Luke chapter 22. And we see how first century Christians came together to participate in this memorial every first day of the week. Now let's talk about the elements. Well, before we actually talk about the elements, let me again emphasize, as you think about this institution, by going back to Luke chapter 22, verse 15, and considering that phrase, with desire I have desired. This new arrangement was something that Jesus was planning on bringing into fruition. This is something that even the Old Testament prophets spoke about. In fact, we see in Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 through 34, that the prophet Jeremiah would speak about the new covenant. It wouldn't be like the old covenant. In Matthew's account of the Lord's Supper, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, you remember in Matthew 26, verse number 28, Jesus would say, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Again, this is the blood of the New Testament. Jesus again would say, as He instituted this new arrangement, "With desire I have desired." This is something that He was looking forward to establishing under the new covenant. As we think about this memorial, again, it's part of the new arrangement. It's part of New Testament worship. You and I live under the New Testament. The New Testament legislates how we worship God. In Hebrews 7, verse number 19, we learn that the Mosaic law made nothing perfect, but bringing in a better hope did, by which we draw near to God. Do you see what the writer is saying in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19? We don't draw near to God through the old covenant. This morning, we're not remembering the Passover of the Old Testament. We draw near to God through a new covenant, the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20, the new covenant is an everlasting covenant because the new covenant has been sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there's a reason why Jesus says what He says. "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover." Because as Jesus was commemorating the Passover with His disciples, He would use this opportunity to talk about the new arrangement. He would use this as an opportunity to institute the Lord's Supper, the memorial that we participate in upon every first day of the week. Now let's talk about number two, the elements. Let's talk again about the elements of the Lord's Supper. Beginning in verse number 16, "For I say unto you, I will not eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves." Again, verse 17 has to do with the Passover. As they are commemorating the Passover, again, Jesus uses this as an opportunity. Verse number 18, He says, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And verse 19, "He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Notice again, he took the bread, the unleavened bread. This was the bread that they would use at Passover. This is the bread that would be present as Jesus instituted this new arrangement, the Lord's Supper. Again, he took the unleavened bread that was used in the Passover, and we see that the bread would symbolize it. It would represent the body that was hung, His body that was hung on the cross. And then in verse number 20, "Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Again, the cup. Think about what Jesus is saying as he took the cup. Now, in the hermeneutical world, This is what we refer to as a metonymy. A figure of speech where one word is used for another. In this case, the word cup is used for the content that was found in the cup, which is the fruit of the vine. And so Jesus took the fruit of the vine, and we see that the fruit of the vine, the juice that we partake, that we drink of, it symbolizes the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. Now, when you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse number 23 through 26, the Apostle Paul, an apostle out of due season, is going to receive this revelation that Jesus speaks of here in Luke 22, Matthew 26. And he's going to talk about what Jesus said as he instituted the Lord's Supper, as they would partake of the unleavened bread. He reminds them that it symbolized the body of Christ. As they partook of the fruit of the vine, it symbolized again the blood of Christ. Now, as you're thinking about the elements of the Lord's Supper, maybe in your mind you're wondering, well, does it matter? Does it really matter if we don't use unleavened bread or the fruit of the vine? Now, what's the big deal? I'd encourage you, when you go back and look at the Old Testament Passover that we just talked about, that we used in establishing this lesson. Again, remember the people of God would remove all of the leaven from their houses, and they would eat unleavened bread for 7 days. And God made it clear to His people that if they transgressed His law, His word in this, that individual, that people would be cut off. Maybe you're wondering, well, why are you even bringing this up? Because this is the arrangement that Jesus Christ instituted. Oh, the elements are important as we partake of this memorial. There's a reason why we partake of the unleavened bread. There's a reason why that we partake of the fruit of the vine. That's what we find in the New Testament. I've had New Testament Christians even ask that question. You know, what is the big deal? Why can't we use something else? Because God's Word teaches us not to tamper with His Word. Not to tamper with the arrangement, with the elements that Jesus instituted. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, a book that we mentioned quite a bit already, speaking of the New Covenant, remember, the writer reminds us to do things according to the pattern, just like Moses did as he built the tabernacle according to the pattern. This is the pattern that our Lord instituted. This is the pattern that we see our brethren practicing, and we don't want to deviate from that. We don't want to try to introduce something else that we don't find in the Scriptures, because we would be violating the Scriptures. You see, if we're going to partake of this memorial, of the Lord's Supper, we have to do so with the utmost respect for the Word of God, doing exactly what God says to do in the way that He says to do it. Again, upon the first day of every week. You'll notice on Wednesday night when we come together that we come together to worship God. And as we pointed out earlier, the New Testament legislates how we worship God. We don't go back to the Old Covenant. We turn to the New Covenant. On Wednesday night, we will sing songs, spiritual songs. We will pray to our God. We will open His Word and we will study. We'll participate in the three acts of worship that we read about in the New Testament. But on Wednesday night, we won't partake of the Lord's Supper. On Wednesday night, we won't give of our means. We see that our first century brethren gave of their means, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2, upon the first day of the week. And so if we're going to worship God in spirit and truth, partaking of this memorial is an act of worship. We have to have the utmost respect for the Word of God, and we don't need to tamper with God's arrangement. That's why, again, the elements are so important. And that's why we're highlighting this point. Again, we see the institution of the Lord's Supper. We see the elements of the Lord's Supper. But then number three, I want us to talk about the application, because the application of what we're talking about is so important. And I want to invite your attention back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And as I said, the Apostle Paul is instructing these brethren. He's correcting some problems that occurred in abusing the Lord's Supper. And so he's reminding them, as we talked about, number one, the institution. And you'll notice in 1 Corinthians, beginning around verse number 23, he's going to talk to them about the elements. That's why we talked about the institution. And that's why we talked about the elements. But beginning around verse number 24, we begin to read or see the application. Read with me beginning at verse 24, and we'll read down through verse number 26. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.'" You see, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do so retrospectively. Again, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do so retrospectively. We look back to the cross. Our minds are centered on the suffering, the death of Jesus Christ. And we understand that we benefit from His death. In Galatians 1, verse number 4, He gave Himself for us that He might deliver us from this present evil world. In Hebrews 2, verse 14, we learn that Jesus conquered the devil. He conquered the power of the devil by dying on the cross. The death of Jesus Christ is so important. And so when we partake of this memorial, when we partake of this feast, again, our minds should go back to the cross. We do so retrospectively. Number two, we do so introspectively. And we really see this in verse number 27 and verse 28. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Again, think about the point. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do so retrospectively. We look back to the cross. We do so introspectively. We examine what we're doing. And to me, I guess out of all of the application that we're making this morning, this is probably the challenge for all of us. To do so introspectively, thinking back to the cross, focusing on the death, the suffering of Jesus Christ. Because it takes a lot of mental discipline on our part to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's something that takes effort on our part, because it's so easy for our minds to wonder and to dwell on things that aren't really important. I don't know about you, but sometimes I am really challenged in this area. You stop and think about what we said up to this point this morning. As we partook of the unleavened bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ, what were you thinking on? Where was your mind during that time? Was your mind wondering, thinking about maybe what you're going to do right after services, where you're going to eat, things that maybe you have to do today, tomorrow, this next week. Oh, I'm mentioning these things because I'm challenged with these things. I think we're all challenged with these things. That's why we're talking about them. And that's why we're striving to want to do better, to worship God in spirit and in truth. We've emphasized truth, the elements of the Lord's Supper. Now we're emphasizing the right attitude when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We do so introspectively. And here's why. Turn back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm making this easy for you. I'm keeping it all right here where you can turn back maybe one page. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Do you see why it's so important to examine ourselves spiritually speaking? Because when we partake of this memorial, this feast, the Lord's Supper, the unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine, from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, we see a beautiful thought. Spiritually speaking, when we partake of this memorial, our Lord is communing with us. Think about that. As you partake of the Lord's Supper, our Lord is communing with us. He's fellowshipping with us. Here's another verse for you to think about. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew 26. We noticed this from Luke's account already. But turn back to Matthew chapter 26. And listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew 26, verse number 29. As He talks about the unleavened bread, as He talks about the fruit of the vine, He says in verse 29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day, Acts chapter 2, when the Lord's church was established, as we talked about already, when I drink it anew," underline that, "when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget about that. So if this lesson is going to help anybody, it's going to help me because it's a communion that we have with our Lord. And if I'm going to commune with the Lord as I partake of this memorial feast, my mind needs to be focused on Jesus Christ and nothing else. And dear friends, that's not going to happen by accident. And we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't shy away from that challenge. We should strive to really discipline ourselves and our minds as we worship God. Not only when we partake of the Lord's Supper, but when a brother is leading us in prayer. Again, what are we thinking on? As we sing the spiritual songs, are we thinking about the words when we're hearing God's Word proclaimed? Are we focused on what is being said? Are we searching the Scriptures? Acts 17, verse 11. Again, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, are we thinking about our Lord? We do so retrospectively. Our minds go back to the cross. We do so introspectively, examining ourselves, thinking about the unleavened bread which represents the body of Christ. The fruit of the vine symbolizing the blood of Christ. Are we thinking about those elements and the significance of the Lord's Supper? Again, we do so retrospectively. We do so introspectively. And then number three, we do so prospectively. Look at verse number 26 again. In verse number 26, going back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." As long as time continues, we will follow this arrangement that Jesus Christ instituted long ago. This arrangement will be in place until Christ comes again. This is something that Christians will participate in every first day of the week. And friends, this is something that we need to be reminded of as we come together to worship our God, as we partake of this spiritual communion with our Lord. Oh, when we turn to when we open the Bible, we shouldn't be surprised that we read about memorials. Memorials in the Old Testament, and we have the Lord's Supper under the New Testament. Under the Old Testament, there were many memorials, but as I said, probably the most familiar was Passover. And the reason I'm mentioning Passover again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we learn there that Jesus Christ is our Passover. You see, when we think about Old Testament Passover, we think about the memorial, we think about the blood. When we think about Jesus Christ being our Passover, we think about the blood that washes away our sins. We understand that the blood is important, and there's a reason why God wants us, as we've seen in Scripture this morning, to remember His death. And there's a reason why God wants us to participate in this memorial every first day of the week. God doesn't want us to forget the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf as He died for our sins. Brother Sam mentioned something in his prayer that I believe is very interesting. Something that I've been thinking about as I've been thinking about this lesson. You know, this morning there are many people in the religious world that are commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ. And I think the birth of Jesus Christ is very, very important. It's something that we read about in Scripture. Scripture teaches us that the Savior would be born of a woman. We see this in Genesis chapter 3. So many Old Testament prophecies where Jesus would be born. And we talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. And the birth of Jesus Christ is important. But we're here this morning. As we partook of this memorial, we're to remember His death. That's what God wants us to remember. And so as we partake of the unleavened bread, as we partake of the fruit of the vine, we're to remember the sacrifice. We're to remember the death of Christ. The Lamb of God, John 1:29, that would take away the sins of this world. I'm thankful that God established this memorial for us to participate in because it reminds us of what Christ has done on our behalf. You know what's sad? Is we can forget about that death. God doesn't want us to forget, but we can forget about the death of Jesus and the benefits of that death. The Apostle Peter talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. He talks about adding the Christian virtues to your life. And he goes on to say that if you're doing these things, you won't forget what the Lord has done. But if you're not adding the Christian virtues to your life, Peter says you can get to the point that you can forget about what Christ has done for you. Don't forget about the death of Jesus Christ, how He suffered, how He shed His blood on the cross so that you can have the forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal salvation. It might be that you're here this morning and you're a child of God. It may be that you've obeyed the gospel long ago, but for some reason or another, you wandered away from God. Oh, it can happen. You've wandered away from God. God's message to you this morning is don't forget about His Son. Don't forget about the death of Jesus Christ. The Lord would say to anyone who's wandered away from Him from Revelation 2 verse 5, remember where you have fallen and repent and do the first works. Come back to your first love. Put Me first. Worship Me in spirit and truth. Partake of this memorial feast every first day of the week. That's our duty, and that is our privilege to be able to partake of this wonderful feast that Jesus Christ instituted. If you've never obeyed the gospel, this morning is a wonderful opportunity to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. If we're going to overcome spiritual death, we talked about physical death from the Passover of the Old Testament. But the Passover of the New Testament, Jesus Christ, helps us overcome spiritual death. There's absolutely nothing that I can do about physical death. Hebrews 9:27 teaches me that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But there is something I can do about spiritual death. I can obey the gospel by hearing the gospel, by believing the gospel, repenting of my sins, confessing the precious name of Jesus, and being baptized for the remission of my sins so that my sins can be washed away, so that I can be raised to walk in newness of life, so that I now can be in a right relationship and position to be able to draw near to my God. Remember Hebrews 7:19. The old law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw near to God through Him. If we can help you this morning draw near to God, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.